These are eggs. Quick whisk, no risk, protein punch, power lunch, bake for dinner, easy winner, fed the lot, hit the spot, eggs. And why pick up more eggs when you're shopping? Because there are more ways to enjoy them. Like bacon and mushroom fried rice with poached eggs, delicious sautéed potatoes with spinach and eggs, or everyone's favourite, a simple cheese omelette for lunch. So versatile, so nourishing. And always choose eggs with a Board Bia quality mark for the highest standards verified at every stage. Eggs. Crack on.
Yeah, having my head shoved into the steps of the Ulster Bank in Ranelagh, cold butt of a gun put into the back of your skull, that's a moment where you go, okay, yeah, I think this one's up.
How does a high-flying academic become one of Ireland's most prolific bank robbers?
What I would see as the most important part of this still lies open.
I'm Not Here to Hurt You, a brand new series from the award-winning team behind the Indo Daily.
That November day, that's where it all begins.
Out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave. 1919, 1920, there's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello, this is The Left Wing coming to you from inside the Stade Velodrome in Marseille, where Ireland play France in the Six Nations opener tomorrow. Sinéad Cassan here with Rory O'Connor. We're back in France. Maybe part of us never left after the World Cup. I'm not sure.
I've been back already. I was in Toulon for the Munster game a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, it's been a very familiar feeling week. I spent the week in Portugal with the team and even just being in, you know, it was a little bit like being back in tour where we spent so much time last autumn, being just kind of them being away together, spending a lot of time together. You know, so many familiar faces back from that World Cup. Really, there's very little change in the squad and, you know, or the management. So yeah, it's had a very familiar feel. And, you know, I suppose it's a new venue for us.
Yeah.
We didn't get to come here during the World Cup. I was here for Scotland, South Africa, but Ireland never got down this far. And I think that is the fact that it's a Friday night opener, the fact that it's France first up, the fact that it's here. Peter Romani spoke about it in his press conference. It does give it a little bit of something different in what is the most traditional tournament in rugby. But yeah, back again and looking forward to getting out exploring a bit of Marseille later on.
Yeah, now I know you've been here before, as you said. I've never been here before. I like the stadium. It's like, you know, just over 67,000. They're getting the spider cam ready here for tomorrow. The lads down there, the ground staff are working on the pitch. It is going to be that cauldron, isn't it, tomorrow?
Yeah, I know Manny talks about it. He was here in 2014 with Munster. He wasn't actually playing. He'd done his shoulder that season, and I remember he was out with a lot of the Munster fans the night before the game. He was here as a kind of a spectator, and Obviously that ended poorly for them. They put it up to Toulon that day, and a year later Leinster were here and lost to Toulon in the semi-final the day Ian Madigan threw that pass and Brian Havana picked them off. And Leinster more recently were back 2 years ago for the Heineken Champions Cup final in when they lost to La Rochelle. So a lot of the players have experienced it. So certainly the more the kind of Leinster players in the squad, most of them were here a couple of years ago. They don't have great memories.
No.
You know, Irish team, I don't think an Irish team has ever won in this stadium. So it was redone at 14. It was only just half completed almost. It was redone for the 2016 Euros. It's very modern. It's spectacular, really. It's such a great arena. And it's in the heartland, the French rugby, or it's very close. I know Marseille is not a rugby town, but for people who come from Toulouse, from Perpignan, from all these places that we know from the Champions Cup, it's much easier to get here than it is to get to Paris. So I think they'll really appreciate the game being here. The other games are in Lille and Lyon, which are maybe a little bit further away. Paris, obviously, inaccessible because of the Olympics. But the novelty factor and the fact that it's in the heartlands, when they play New Zealand or South Africa here, it's always an incredible atmosphere.
Yeah.
And Ireland, under Andy Farrell, have never beaten France in France.
In France, that's
and
right.
I think that's a big factor. And both of those games, those defeats that they had, one was behind closed doors, but they kind of, I remember Andy Farrell talking about how they went into their shells with the title on the line in 2020. And in 2022, with Joey Carberry at 10, they got spooked by the noise and they lost their way in the white heat of that battle. And, you know, James Ryan was captain that day. He went for the post rather than going to the corner, a controversial call at the time. But afterwards, all the players talked about being kind of almost the assault on the senses that came when France got on top of them and played through them.
And then they'll face something similar. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a big challenge. I mean, they've been through the World Cup, but at the World Cup, there was 40,000 odd Irish fans
on
every
side,
game.
Yeah.
This is a very different one. I know there's talk of a big travelling support. I'm not sure. I'm going to wait and see.
I've heard between 7,000 and 10,000.
Yeah, which would be huge. I've heard a lot of tickets on the resale market as well, though. And like, people spent a lot of money at the World Cup. That's why maybe I'm a little bit sceptical. But even then, it's 60,000. That means there's 50,000 French people here, you know, in Marseille singing the Marseillaise. They will add something to this. And France, like no other team, feed off their crowd.
Yeah. So we're here at the captain's run as well this morning. And Joe McCarthy, the first guy out. I mean, I think John Fogarty spoke about the energy that he brings to the Ireland squad earlier this week. I don't know how Joe McCarthy's going to sleep tonight.
Yeah, it's a big day in his life. Same with Jack Crowdy, same with Calvin Nash, same with Kieran Frawley on the bench. It is a new experience for him. He has been in around this squad for a while now. He went on that New Zealand tour. He was at the World Cup. He came off the bench in a World Cup quarterfinal. So that in itself prepares him for what's coming. But to start, you know, having displaced James Ryan from the starting team, having displaced Dean Henderson from the starting team, you know, other players like Kieran Treble don't even make the squad anymore because Joe McCarthy's come on. And in fairness to him, he looks ready. Every time Leinster have he's been asked a question
he's
playing for Leinster this season, he has delivered in spades. He's been probably himself, Dan Sheehan and Ryan Baird are probably the three form forwards in Ireland this season. He's been outstanding. His numbers stack up. It's not just that he passes the eye test and then you go look at the data. He is the biggest collision winner on both sides of the ball. Obviously, he has a couple of things to tidy up, and some people, you know, Six Nations is a big event, but some people will be tuning in and seeing him play from the start for the first time. He will give away penalties. He will push the envelope. He will try and get some niggle into the game, but that's what Ireland love about him. And he was compared by Austin Healey on TNT recently as being like Eben Etzebeth. And like, Ireland have never produced a player of that size and physicality in the professional era. We've always had to import them in to play for the provinces. So at 22, the stage is set. I really believe that this guy, if his body plays ball, is basically going to be the cornerstone of this Irish pack for the next cycle, two cycles, even three. He's such an exciting talent, and it's great that his form has been rewarded because it gives a sense of renewal to the squad.
It does feel quite new, and obviously the 6-2 split on the bench as well. We were saying yesterday, we don't, like, Andy Farrell has never done that before. I don't think any Irish head coach has done that before. So do you think for that, like, it is kind of the first time that they're recognised, okay, we've got to, like, this is going to come down to power as well?
Yeah, well, look, it was almost a badge of honour during the first cycle. I know Andy Farrell hates the World Cup cycles, but, you know, chapter one of the Andy Farrell era was that four-year period. And now we're beginning a new, you know, he signed a new contract. He's staying on until 2027. And while he isn't, you know, there's no upheaval, there's a lot of very good players who are back again after playing in the World Cup. And even Keane Healy, who missed it at the stage of career he's at, he's been trusted again because he's the best scrummager. So there's no sense of a new broom coming in. But they're obviously learning all the time, and having almost had it as a badge of honour that they always go 5-3, I think in part because of Sexton, because of the fear that he might pull up and you have to have cover in the back line. I suppose Crowley's 24. He's playing 80 minutes every week for Munster. He's young, he's fit. He can probably get through. They can be more sure that he's going to get through things, so that it gives them more comfort. And then you got Kieran Frawley on the bench, who can play 10, 12, 15, as well as Crowley, who can play 10, 12, 15. And Murray can play 9 and 10. So you have that bit of extra comfort that allows you maybe to do something that they've toyed with. I'm sure they toyed with it before. And then it allows you to put Jack Conan, Ryan Baird and James Ryan on the bench, and the energy and pace that they'll bring off the bench, as well as James Ryan being absolutely wrecked. His head must be wrecked that he's not getting a start. You know, he was left out against Scotland in the World Cup. I don't think he would have played against South Africa from the start in the New Zealand in the quarterfinal
if he
was fit, but he picked up an injury. He's got a point to prove, and no better man with a point to prove to come on and make a big impact. So I think it really weaponizes Ireland's bench, and like, France will go 6-2 as well, or have gone 6-2. So you're almost meeting fire with fire, and you're not allowing them to dictate the way the game finishes. So the key is to get a good start, stay in the fight, and you know, Ronan O'Gara talked during the week that it comes down to the last 10-15 minutes of test matches. That's when you break a team. Ireland are well placed with the bench that they have to break that team.
Yeah, I just walked past Crowley, Frawley and Harry Byrne there, so they were obviously doing their kicking here after. If Crowley was making his first Six Nations start tomorrow, he certainly didn't look like it. The three of them were just sitting there chatting with each other. But we heard from Peter O'Mahony as well today. He spoke very well, actually, and here he is talking about tomorrow's game and also about Joe McCarthy's impact.
What kind of energy has Joe McCarthy brought to the team, and what's it like having him in there? Yeah, look, he's obviously what, you know, the performance you've seen is the energy that he's bringing. You know, big, athletic, you know, what a man to do extras, to learn. You know, he's been in a bit now, and you can see every camp he goes away, he's picking stuff up and he's learning and he's putting in his game. And, you know, young man, you know, eager to learn and perform and play well and press. And that's exactly what he's done. Destructive be a word I'd use for him, you know. But, you know, loves the game. He's a great man to have around, great crack, and it's really added to our squad in more ways than just rugby.
And has your former teammate and friend, Johnny Sexton, been in touch, taking on, with you taking on the new role now?
Yeah, look, obviously I've been very close to him for a long time, and for rugby reasons, but we've been in touch for many other reasons. You know, I had a good chat with him a few weeks ago, and he's in good form, I can report. This one seems particularly special, not just for me, because under my circumstances, but for the group, and you know, lots of guys in the group, you know, big games, you know, big opportunities for guys, big opportunities for every one of us, you know, to continue our journey on, and you know, what a place to do it, what a stadium, just coming in there from the captain's room. Haven't been here in a long time, and unfortunately, not great memories, but you know, what a place to be.
It is obviously a huge day for Peter tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's, is it the 11th time he's captain Ireland? Yeah. So it's not new. And I remember I covered a 2013 tour of the US and Canada when he was named captain as a very young player. He played number 8 in both tests. Ireland have always seen him as a leader, as Munster yeah. have. He led the tour in 2018 to Australia because Rory Best was injured. And I remember being very impressed with the way he adapted his communication style to the media on that trip, because at times he can be a little bit hostile in press conferences or in interview situations. He's become more considered with time, with age.
Yeah, I thought he was giving there today.
Yeah, he was very giving, and he spoke about being a more mature player, about how a younger Peter O'Mahony would have been, you know, suffering from pressure and anxiety now because he's the captain, but he doesn't feel that way anymore. He has had a lengthy chat with his good friend Johnny Sexton. Yeah. He spoke about that as well, and he wasn't giving much away about it, but you know, he
like, told us Johnny was in good form anyway.
Yeah,
so
that's the main thing. But like, yeah, you know, look, he's played under Paul O'Connell, he played under Brian O'Driscoll, he played under Sexton. He has been a de facto captain. You know, Sexton would have leaned on him an awful lot in the last couple of years. But having said that, it's now his team. It's a Six Nations. It's a title defence. It's away in France. You know, the contract stuff is bubbling away behind the scenes as well. So there's a lot on his plate this week, and he has to manage all of that. But I think he's well placed to do it. I think he was, you know.
But the heart will be beating a little bit faster tomorrow, I'd imagine.
Of course, but I think it will be for a couple of players in that dressing room. And sure, that's probably no harm of Peter O'Mahony that his blood is up. You know, he's a player who, you know, he's a player you want on your side on a day like today. And look, his last day out with Ireland didn't go great. He was quiet against New Zealand. He had a great World Cup until that point, and he didn't play particularly well. He was taken off.
He won his 100th cap the week before against Scotland. That was a huge week for him. I was thinking at the time, would that play into the following week? Because that was such a kind of, you know, an important week for him. But yeah,
And they got a bit bullied that day. So there's a bit of a point to prove there around the breakdown. I mean, like, obviously they're never going to get that quarterfinal back, and they're trying not to focus on the World Cup, but for both teams, it's a reference point. They both ended their last game in crushing circumstances in the same weekend, at the end of two of the greatest 80 minutes we've ever seen in any sport, never mind rugby. And they're both back here, and we just don't know how that's going to play into it.
So what are you looking for tomorrow? I mean, we know that the line-out just completely malfunctioned in the World Cup. We know they were penalised at the scrum. We know they didn't take those shots that Simon Easterby spoke about last week, and they didn't take all their opportunities. And we also know that Andy Farrell also said that they don't want to cut the legs out of what they've done so far. But something, you know, a lot has to change as well, because they are not the perfect machine.
I think it just needs to be more accurate and more efficient, because they weren't perfect in 2023, but they were close. You know, they were so good across that 18 game winning run when they were number one for a year and a half, and you know.
But I suppose I'm talking about in the game that mattered the most, which was the
absolutely.
World Cup quarterfinal.
Yeah, I'm not dismissing that, but you don't throw out the good to get, you know, to correct the bad. You get better at the good, and I think what they need to look at is their start, because when they were good in that period, it was when they started really, really well.
You think about the opening game against Wales last year in Cardiff. Three tries in the first half, yeah.
Absolutely blitzed them on the back of a camp in Portugal. And now, like, Sexton was there, the provinces were probably in better form. It's been a very mixed bag for the season. Sorry, it's been a bad season for three of the provinces, and Leinster have been, getting by a little bit. And one thing that would worry me a little bit has been their 22 efficiency, and they're working in the red zone because they haven't been converting a lot of the chances they're creating, which just goes back to what Farrell and Easterby and even O'Mahony today talk about is you have to fire shots when you get the opportunity. When you win a penalty on the halfway line and you kick to the 22, well, you better catch that line out. Mm-hmm. You better nail your line out drill. You better not peel off too early like Ronan Kelleher did and got stopped by Jordy Barrett, because against the best teams, and this is a meeting of two of the best four teams in the world, there's still, I don't think that's changed. I think that hierarchy, you could quibble about who's the best team in the world, but the four best teams in the world are still New Zealand, South Africa, Ireland and France. They've all had a bit of change, but the fundamentals of this Irish team are still really, really strong. Jack Crowley is working off a really solid base behind a really powerful pack with experienced centres outside him, with an experienced nine inside him. You've obviously an inexperienced winger in Calvin Nash on the right wing, but he's part of a back three being marshalled by Hugo Keenan. There's all the allowances are being made for those young players to go and thrive, and they need to go out and seize the day. But from Ireland's point of view, it's about accuracy. It's about these are all buzzwords really, but painting the right picture for Carl Dixon, the referee, another English referee.
Yeah,
they tend to get on top of Andrew Porter. He needs to be squeaky, squeaky clean up against his old mate Weenie Antonio in the front row. When they get into the 22, they've got to be, they've got to win their breakdown. Like, they got beaten at the breakdown against New Zealand, something you'd never say about Ireland, but you could expect Caelan Doris, like, France will have watched that game as well. Doris is going to come in for some attention. Someone's got to take the work off him. So there's lots to tidy up within the New Zealand performance, and yet, had Kelleher managed to just go like an inch lower, they could have won that game and we'd be looking back on a semi-final or a final and a very different experience. So like this, it was so close to being good, to being very, very good, and one of the great results, probably the greatest result in Irish history, that you can't just go, let's start again. I think Farrell's right to do it patiently, but with the changes we've seen in the second row, at out half, obviously enforced on the right wing and on the bench, there is a little bit of a sense of renewal about this team.
Well, it is going to be obviously really, and obviously I take on board all that, just to see how they do respond, that emotional energy. I think this is such another, we talk so much about Andy Farrell and his man management qualities, how they respond to this tomorrow. I think that's going to be a real test of his managerial coaches, I'll say, and
absolutely.
And if it has damaged them in any way and their confidence.
Yeah, and France are dealing with the same thing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly.
I mean, and Farrell is very, they addressed it at the first meeting, but he has moved on. He says he's moved on himself. He's over it. I'm not sure the players are just yet. I'm sure they've had a bit of time again, like that kind of the fact that we feel like we're back at the World Cup. I'm sure they do too. So there's a bit of PTSD. I think it was Jimson Gibson Park used that phrase the other day. Ty Byrne said he's not thinking about it. He'll deal with it when he's retired. But I mean, I'm not sure that's the right way to deal with something that's slightly akin to grief. But it's, they have Gary Keegan, the performance coach there. He reached out to them all. Rugby Players Ireland reached out to them as well to say, if you need emotional support, you can get it. You can talk to someone over the course of the last couple of months, because it was such a devastating blow to them. And look, we won't know until they're out there, and we don't know how it affected France, but it's definitely a factor. And Andy Farrell is now, he built Andy Farrell's team 1.0, and it took about a year and a half of pain to get to the point where they were able to start winning games against New Zealand and then go on that series and win a Grand Slam and then go to a World Cup and have that incredible momentum, and it all came shuddering to a halt. But he did it in tandem with Johnny Sexton. And we won't know, I think, until tomorrow night, or maybe the whole five games of this championship, how much Ireland are actually going to miss Sexton, because he's been there for so long. He was the driving force. Players talked, and people can dismiss this, but players talked a lot about how training standards dropped when Johnny wasn't around. Well, that can't happen. If that's what's happening at their training now, well then we can forget about the Six Nations, because it shouldn't take one figure to do it, but it does seem like that's been the case. James Lowe, James Ryan talked about it over the years. Farrell talked about diversifying over the last couple of years and the level of responsibility away from Sexton, and others have stepped up. But he was, the dominant figure in this squad for so long that Farrell's almost building again with the same players, but the totemic figure is gone. And that, I think, is a factor that everyone appreciates, but no one knows what it means until we actually see them out there. And it's not just on Jack Crowley, because Crowley's a 24-year-old who needs to experience this himself and needs to do his own thing. He can't just come in and try and be Johnny Sexton. It's got to be across the board. They've all got to raise their levels to make up for whatever those intangibles that were there when Johnny was there.
So obviously the France team came out yesterday, and looking at it on paper, it's kind of, where can Ireland go after them tomorrow, do you think? Or is it a case of how France undo themselves almost?
Yeah, you look at it on paper, it's very strong. Again, they're dealing with a lot of the same things that Ireland are dealing with. And I'm sure they look at the Ireland team on paper and draw breath as well. Because as I said, the last time we saw these teams, they were part of two of the greatest test matches of all time. And they still are incredibly strong, albeit they don't have their talismanic figure of the last 4 to 6 years in Antoine Dupont. So it's not like they're not dealing with some stuff as well. Ireland need to, I think the fact that they've got Mofana on the wing, he's normally a centre. He has played a fair bit on the wing, but Calvin Nash is very good in the air. I think you're going to see box kick, and I think you need to stay patient. I'm writing about this in my game plan piece for tomorrow, but I think there's a lot. Ireland can't get bored. If France go to the air, Ireland have to stay patient. We saw, wasn't it Hugo Keenan and Johnny Sexton get caught here in the corner against La Rochelle, and that when things ramped up in that last 10 minutes and Leinster got let the game slip, they got impatient, they rushed it, they got frazzled. Even Sexton got frazzled in the white heat of a Champions Cup final at this venue with loads of La Rochelle fans here, and that would led to them being camped in the Leinster 22 for a long period, and eventually they lost the game. So Ireland need to stay patient. Farrell's talked a lot, and they talk a lot, you see them doing the Gary Keegan breathing. They talk a lot about, if you make a mistake, it's gone. Because if you dwell on that mistake, there's going to be another big French lag.
Easier said than done.
It is easier said than done, and that's what winning here is going to take. So I think it's about taking opportunities, being accurate at set piece, not giving away stupid penalties, and if they go to the air, because France, if you watch the Netflix documentary, France don't want to play in their own half. Well, don't get sucked into trying to run it back and get turned over and give them the chance to build a score, because I think chasing a game here will be so difficult. It's interesting, I don't know if it's going to happen, but Pozzolo Tuilagi, Manu Tuilagi's nephew, has been recalled to the squad because Roman Tafafnua, the reserve second row, has an illness.
Nice.
So we could be seeing the 149kg son of Henry Tuilagi, nephew of Manu, making his France debut at the age of 19 here tomorrow night, which will be something else. He's anyone who watched the 20s last year, he played against Ireland in the World Cup final and in Cork, and he's an incredible specimen who caused Ireland's under-20s nightmares last year. Now, different level here.
Yeah, of course.
But just another little layer into it. So we'll see. They're going to make a call on that in the morning. But I think France, if you look at the history, I think it's 1972, Ireland won here. In the years since, Ireland have won three times. Officially, I know Dave Kelly's done a big piece on the win in Oche against a French team that was it was essentially a France team and a famous win. But if you look at Six Nations games and Five Nations games, it's 2000, it's 2014 when they won the Six Nations,
2018.
And 2018, all by 2 points.
Yeah,
Sexton's drop goal last minute, holding out against the French team in 2014, and it took the greatest individual performance in Irish rugby history in 2000. That's what it takes to win in France in the Six Nations. And even we might not be in Paris, but it's that still has relevance now. And that's why I think it's not the only reason, but I think France at home, backed by that support, Ireland without Sexton, I just think it's a bridge too far. But we are in a tournament where losing bonus points could matter down the line. Yeah. And I think what Irish fans want to see is a good performance, and Crowley settling into the job and getting into that last 5-10 minutes with a chance of winning it. And then it's open season. We saw when the top four teams played, it all came down to those last couple of minutes and those fine margins. Farrell wants them removed from the equation. He wants them to take chances to build a big score, but that's going to be easier said than done here.
Yeah, no, it is. Well, this place is going to be absolutely rocking. We are going to be back with another podcast. It's back to our kind of midnight 1 a.m. podcast after the game tomorrow. So do keep an eye out on your podcast feed for that. But thanks for listening.